Okay, so my name is Oral. So good to have the privilege to talk to you today about the lesson. As you know, that Maurice asked me to talk today because we both belong to the same club, Shiny Head Bald Men Club. Anyway, so it's a great lesson today, so hope you guys have your Bibles out and just get ready to learn about what we have to talk about today. Because I think it really is appropriate for us men who go through life struggling. Even the song today was great. You know, the trials that are in my way, Satan is on the attack, and we're going to have to fight back. So today's lesson is just about self-discipline and how we need to fight back. And how we need to just, you know, be in our Bibles and just really just fight this spiritual battle that we all are in. Okay, so the lesson is about self-discipline. And everyone that competes, I'm a competitor. My name is Oral Sulker, I said it already. But most of you don't know that I'm also a track athlete. I ran in the 1980 Olympics. So I have a huge background in running and competing. So everyone who competes goes into strict training, right? A track runner trains by running. A boxer trains by punching and countering. A basketball player practices dribbling and shoots to develop and gain muscle memory. Memory is a good thing to have, right? Muscle memory. The brain is a memory. So muscle memory is important for us. And how we develop that is by studying the Bible. So we as disciples train our minds by reading the Bible and praying. This is done to combat Satan's and his schemes. We are in a spiritual battle. We are in competition and in the battle for our souls. Our soul is eternal. And that prize that Satan wants to win is our soul. So as we go through life, we're going to battle all the time. And you have to understand, it's very important that we understand the Bible. So winning, so an athlete runs, a basketball player plays, a boxer boxes, and other athletes compete in a game. But the prize that they win is only temporary, right? It's only temporary on this earth. It just goes into a closet, goes in a trophy, but it's not eternal. But our souls are eternal. And that's the greatest prize of all. So we need to know to understand that we have to do whatever it takes to win that battle. Right? Therefore, in our battle against Satan, we strike our body with our mind to make it obey the word of God. We need to understand this. Right? From the very beginning, God warns us to train our minds and our thoughts. He turned to Genesis 4:6. So in this scripture, then God said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." So we need to develop self-discipline. How do we rule over it? By studying, by reading, by praying, by understanding that God is here to help us win a battle against Satan, right? So let's also look at 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. It's the need for self-discipline. Do you not know that in a race, and we spoke about this, all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the game goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. It's just for this earth, just now. If you put it in a closet, like I said before, it doesn't go anywhere. But we do it to get a crown. We as disciples do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. And what do we mean by preaching to others? We go out, we study, we talk, right? If you turn to Matthew, let's go to Matthew 20:25-21, it says, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." So when we share with others, when we're doing what God wants us to do, I know it's hard. And it's hard for me too sometimes, but I have to do things. But I try to, that's when you train, you beat your body to do what God wants you to do. So we train and we fight and we go through this. Right? And how do we train? If you go to Ephesians 6:10-18, and I'm doing a lot of turning back and forth. Ephesians 6:10-18. You know, we're doing a lot of turning in the Bible. That's what it's all about, right? Learning the Bible, understanding what God wants for us. It says the armor of God, and that's what we do as disciples. Right? Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. That's our true battle. Right, therefore, put on a full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to this, take up your shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, with the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And that's what we're talking about, right? We're talking about being ready, being always ready for all the devil's schemes, because he can attack you. And what the devil uses to attack you? He uses things that make you feel bad, things that make you feel hopeless, right? Each of us are in a fight against Satan. Each day is a different round, right? Each day is a different race. Some are in round one. Some are in their first race, who just discipled them in your first race. Some are in round 1,000, who've been around for a long time, but we're still battling, right? Either way, you're in a fight against Satan. So we must train our minds and do what is right. However, Satan does attack us, right? He attacks us and he desires to beat us. Satan uses weapons that attack our mind and our hearts, such as, do I really matter? Some of us think that way. Do I really matter? Right? I cannot stop this sin. I continually do this sin over and over again. You feel hopeless, right? You feel fear, worry, guilt, doubt, depression, bitterness, anger to the point of sin. But as we know in the Bible, God says, do not worry about today. Do not fear, for I am with you. My grace is sufficient. If you turn to 2 Corinthians 12:9, he says, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So in your weakness that you have when you struggle, you can't feel it, you feel doubt, that's when you go to God and pray. That's when you look at the Bible and find encouragement, find strength. Because that's when you become powerful and that's when God can really work with you. Right? So he says, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that's the vow that we have. So, and also, Luke 22, you turn it, Luke 22, 63 to 64, teaches us how Jesus battled Satan's attack. Jesus was, at that point in the Bible, Jesus was physically weak. Right, they had beaten him. The men were mocking him and beating him. But Jesus never gave up. You know why? Because his faith, Jesus' faith lay in God's word. His eyes were always on God. So even as we go through battles, we are beaten, we feel physically drained, we feel like we can't get through sin, we feel like we can't make it anymore, we need to rely on God. Because look at Jesus at that point where he says, the men in Luke 22, 63, it says the men who were guarding Jesus mocked him, began mocking him and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, "Prophesy, who hits you?" But we know what happened. Jesus went on and died for our sins, and that's why we're here today. So we don't give up, right? Let's finish up with two more scriptures. How do we battle Satan? Let's look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And this is what we need to really understand, fellas. We need to really understand this. Okay. And this is a really critical part about our battle with Satan as men. Right? Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. The armor of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the evil schemes. That's what we spoke about. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And we read this before, but you need to get this thing. That's why I'm repeating it. But against the rulers, against authorities, against the weapons of the dark, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand firm then, with the belt buckled around you. Around your waist and the breastplate of the righteousness, and with your feet fitted with firmness that comes from the gospel. In addition to this, take up your sword of truth, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests, which is with this in mind, be alert and always keep praying for all of God's people. And lastly, look at 2 Timothy 2, 14 to 16. And this is about dealing with false teachings. And that's where if we're in the Bible, we can deal with that. Okay, 14 says, keep reminding God's people of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of the truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it become more and more ungodly. So when we're in the Bible, we cannot be fooled. We cannot be fooled by false teachings. We cannot be fooled by Satan. We cannot be fooled. And we can only be stronger when we were in the Word of God. And lastly, I've had one more. Hebrews 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. And that's what we spoke about at the very beginning. You fight and you persevere to gain that eternal life, that eternal walk with God, being with God, and we can know that we can study and learn and read the Bible, memorize the Bible, so that we can be given that praise, that a prize that God has promised. Amen.
Amen. My name is Sunji Ariola, and
all right.
Thank you so much, Oral, for the awesome message, and I would just be going on from there. So, you know, he was talking about various things, but one thing that he mentioned that resonated with what I'm going to say is about a boxer and how a boxer actually, you know, gets ready for a fight. He works out, he does all precautions, has the gear on, makes sure that he's ready so that once the fight is on, he's game ready, set. But the other thing that we do not know is our battle of life, that the devil is actually the person that we're fighting against. And he's there, ready and loaded. You're pacing, trying to figure out where to punch him. He's also pacing, trying to figure out where to hit you. And when you think that you might have victory, then he comes with a jab. And he hits you with a body shot. And those body shots, if you've ever been in a fight before, that takes the wind out of you. It makes you weak. It makes you feel like, can I continue this fight? Can I keep it up? And you know, the body shots, they stop you in your tracks. I don't know if you've ever been hit, but it's not a good feeling. Even going over to Matthew chapter 4, real quick. We'll be talking about when Jesus went into the desert to pray and fast for 40 days. We all know the story, but I'll just read it over. It said, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. He said, if you are the Son of God, he said to him, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hand, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. He said, all this I will give you if you bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. Very simple scripture. We all know this passage very well. But one thing you should notice is, as men, at our hungriest, that's our weakest. When you're hungry, you have so much emotions. You're angry, you're mad, you're sad. You become a 5-year-old kid all over again. Anything that anyone is saying to me, I don't want to hear it. I just want to eat right now. After I'm done eating, then we could talk. And this is just 7 hours without eating. So imagine Jesus going for 40 days and 40 nights. Come on. You tell me to turn stone into bread, I'll turn the whole mountain into food. But let's be realistic. The devil knew that this was Jesus' weakest moment. And he came to attack him. And Jesus came like, I'm not with that. I'm not going to eat it. I was like, all right, bet. All right, no problem. Let me take you to another test, right? If you don't want to turn stone to bread, why don't you show me power? Show these people powers that you just got. You just been fasting for 40 days. Jump off this building. They say angels will catch you. Show these people that you are the king. But he said no. Like, you've been renewed, you've been refreshed. Show these people that yes, you're a man of God. Go on the streets and preach. He said no. He came again and I said, oh, okay. He said, took him to the mountain and told him that he'd give him everything he wanted. Jesus' goal at that time was to preach the word of God to every corner. And the devil is telling him that, this whole world, I'll give it to you. It's still pretty much fulfilling the scriptures, right? But not in line, but Jesus turned it down. And this is one thing that was actually the low blow. It wasn't the temptation that was actually the low blow or the body shot. It was in verse 12. If you guys can read with me, chapter 4, verse 12. He said, when Jesus heard that John the Baptist had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. After 40 days and 40 nights of fasting and praying, then your cousin got locked up. After victories upon victory, then you get hit. And it's now something that you don't even have control over. You know, when I thought about this, I just looked at it like, wow, I looked at my own self and I saw, I came from Nigeria 2017. I got married 2017. I came from Nigeria 2018, 1st of February. The biggest issue or the biggest block I saw was first, leaving, second, getting a job, third, stabilizing, fourth, acclimatizing to the society. And that happened almost immediately. I was like, whoa, is this how it happens? Because I thought, well, yeah, you know, I'll wait, maybe go to school, get a job in whatever, you know, start up small, build up until I get a proper job. God took me from 0 to 1,000 real quick. I became, you know, young married man. The first thing on my mind is get everything set up, then start a family. Boom, that happened. Like, beginning of everything. My wife was pregnant. And I was like, yes, God, you've been fighting for me. You've been there for me. Everything has been going on. I'm good. I'm well refreshed. You know, I can do whatever. I can preach, go anywhere, serve. Whatever God wants me to do, I'm doing it because He has answered my prayers. Then 5 months down the line, my wife lost the baby. Then I was just like, so why did I stress? Why did I run around for you? Why did I do everything to feel this way? To take everything that I've worked hard for to get just one time off of my hands. And that's when the devil came to me. It's like, yeah, so why are you going around helping people? Just stop. Just withdraw back. Think about yourself more. Think about Tunji. Be selfish. You know, forget everybody else. Don't talk to nobody else. Be in your feelings. You know, anybody that comes to you, just block them out. And that's what the devil used against me. And in that moment, you now fall into sin. You fall into depression. Your hands become weak. You can't fight. You just got a body shot. Now you can't get up. You can't even fight back. The devil has used every single thing against you. He's used the most thing that you wanted so much as a tool to get you down the most. In those moments, there was this song I used to sing. I gotta find peace of mind. Who knows that song? That Lauryn Hill song, Find Peace of Mind. And the song goes on. She kept on crying that she needs to find God in her own stress. And at that point, I was trying to find God in material things. I thought maybe if I concentrate on working hard and bringing more money in, I won't think about the loss and everything that's gone through it. But one thing I didn't realize is I wasn't equipped. And the Bible says here in Ephesians 6, verse 16, in 16 it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Have you ever lifted up the shield before? That thing is heavy. That's how our faith has to be heavy. It's not like light work kind of faith. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. We all know it's going to happen. We know that you're going to get to work. That's not faith. That is process. Faith is believing in what you can't see, what you can't even touch, beyond our own visual eyes. And most of the time, we look at faith as material things that we need to acquire. We never look at the faith with the connection that we have with God. And He's telling us right here that we should hold on to that shield. At my lowest of all low, my shield was you guys. Because, the brothers kept on coming in like, and seeing sugar. They were just coming like, hey, TJ, you good? Oh, let's go. So I'm like, will they ever stop? But they kept on coming. They kept on showing love. They were devoted. In Romans 10, verse 17, it said, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. The brothers here, they kept on coming. You know what? Especially Mr. Lee. He said, things that happen to everyone, like if rain should fall, do you expect that rain shouldn't fall on the Christians also? It should fall on everyone, right? So for you going through that situation doesn't make you different. Because you worship God and you praise Him so much, it doesn't make you different from going through a situation that God wants to take you through. Doesn't mean that you have to withdraw or take back your steps. It means that you have to fight better. You need to be stronger. You need to stand firm with your faith. And hearing the word makes you grow. voice, you don't want to hear nothing. When you're hungry, you don't want to hear nothing. You just want to eat. No matter what you try, nothing can get to you. But being faithful, being able to listen, being able to grow in that pain, in that moment, helps your faith to grow. In Acts 2, verse 42, it says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves. Not light work. Not, yeah, you know, I'll check up on you once in a month. They devoted themselves to it. Said they were devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that's to their Bibles and quiet time. They devoted themselves to fellowship, that's learning from each other. If I wasn't able to learn from people that have gone through this experience also that I went through, I don't think I would be the same place that I am right now. Because I felt like I was robbed. I felt like I didn't deserve to go through this. But knowing fully well that people have also gone through it, but now they're standing stronger, better in Christ. They devoted themselves to prayer. That's time with God. Not 5 minutes before going to work. Like literally indebting themselves in God. And, you know, sometimes I feel like we take for granted the blessings that we have. Most of the everyone beside you, in front of you, is a blessing to you. Because we're all here to help each other, to sharpen each other's iron sharpen iron. To help each other grow. So when we go through trials, we'll be able to overcome them. We need to grow in our faith. That's strict training. That's how the boxers go for a strict training to win the match. So that we can defend ourselves from Satan's body shots. We can grow by being devoted to God's word. Amen.
Yeah. Good morning. Good morning, man. Good morning, brothers. Yes. I'm so thankful that Marisa asked me to help.
To help share this message. Thank you. Yeah, anyway, so like we have been hearing, you know, it's about Satan, how he attacks us. You know, I don't know if y'all, and I know probably each and every one of us at some time has felt or has known that we came under attack. That we came under attack from Satan, you know, and I know I have, I certainly have, I know this week I have, you know, where at times, you know, Satan gives like hard blows, he gives like head shots, he gives body shots, and he's very fast at doing it sometimes, but to me, the most dangerous shots that he gives are the subtle ones, the ones that we don't notice, really, that is coming from him. At times, I feel that he just doesn't want to like defeat us in a sense where, like, cause us to do a big sin. But he just want to make us inconsequential to the gospel and to the power of the gospel. And he does this by neutralizing, you know, our testimonies. He does this by making us feel worthless. He does this by attacking us in ways where we just become indifferent to the things of God and to the will of God for us. And this is what I think is the most dangerous thing for us. He wants us to be asleep Christians, to be asleep disciples, to be useless, to be sitting up on benches warming pews, not to be serving, not to loving one another. Forget about forgiveness. This is how he attacks us in a major way. So, you know, I try to learn from you guys, but most of all, I try to emulate Christ. And I try to find out what I have to do to stand up against him. Because Satan, you know, he's been around for a long time. He knows how to do this well, right? But I try to remember always that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I'd like us to take a look at this scripture, and the Bible's use it first. But let's go to Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Matthew 4. Just bear with me for a minute. And the verse that I'd like to concentrate on in Matthew 4, it says, again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And you know, and this is where our focus should be. Because something I know, and I read this in the scripture, and it's written that Jesus was given all authority.
I know Satan has power, but he does not have authority over us, like he certainly didn't have it over Christ. And he doesn't get authority over us unless we give it to him. So we got to remember, as long as we follow Christ, in another scripture, in 1 Peter 5, he said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. So this is things that we have to remember when we are under attack from Satan, you know. So I just want us to look at some scriptures just to see what is the nature of Satan, how he attacked people at different times. He has no authority. In Job 1, you know, when the angels came walking before God, right? And God said, well, Satan was amongst them also. And then he said, well, where are you coming from? But then I noticed something, that he had to be given a little bit of authority to be able to afflict Job. He couldn't do it upon his own. And the same privilege that Job have, we have through Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are under his blood. So we have to remember that when these times come of trial, when Satan tried to afflict us with many things, making us feel worthless, useless, in seeking after sin, seeking after pleasures, watching things that we shouldn't watch, behaving in ways that we shouldn't, we have to remember how Jesus resisted him. And we have to try to do the same. Because, you know what, brothers? If we don't, you know, we don't know when our Savior is returning. It may be any day. It may be any time. And we don't know when he's coming back. But we have to be living like if he's coming back today. You know, we have to be standing here firm that when he comes, we won't be ashamed for him to see us where we at the time and at the moment. And that's what he wants. He wants us to be defeated. So I just want to share another scripture with you, and I'd like you brothers to turn to Luke 22:54-62, and you see how a very low blow was delivered to Christ. Okay, Luke 22:54-62. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. And Peter followed at a distance. And when some there had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him, and seated there in the firelight, she looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly, this fellow was with him, for he's a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Now that was a low blow. That was a low blow. That was a low blow for Jesus. Because Peter was his friend, his companion, his buddy, his disciple, his follower. And in his time of need, you know, through the influence of the devil, because everything that's done against the nature of God comes from the enemy. He is the enemy. And the fight is not against flesh and blood. But look how Peter denied him three times. And sometimes in our very lives, he has us doing the very same thing. He make us compromise for whatever reason. And we follow him, but we don't have to do it, brothers. We don't have to do it. What we have to do is follow the example of Christ. And what I like to look at is, remember, like the young brother just shared, that after he had fasted for so many days, he was very hungry. But he didn't compromise. He just didn't give in to the suggestions of Satan. Satan couldn't force him. He denied him, and he stood up for us. And that's how we got to stand up for him. Amen? That's how we got to stand up for him. And we'll take a quick look at some more scriptures really quick, and then we'll just conclude this, right? So it says here, resist the devil and he will flee from you. And that is in 1 Peter 5:8-9. I mentioned it, but I think we will read it again because it's important that we remember. 1 Peter 8-9. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same type of suffering. And what strikes me about this particular scripture, it says that he is looking for someone to devour. So what is he looking for? He just can't devour anyone he sees, otherwise he will just devour anybody. But he's looking to see that when we are away from the things that God, where God wants us to be. He's looking to see if we are reading our Bible. He's looking to see if we are praying. He's looking to see if we are following the instruction that God gave us. He's looking to see if we are loving one another. He's looking to see if we're living a life that pleases God. But when he notices that we're not doing these things, then he finds someone that he can devour. So we got to remember to stay in the things that keeps us close to God, you know. And a lot was said, and all these scriptures are very familiar, but we cannot conclude talking about the enemy without talking about how we stand up against him. And then that will take us to Ephesians 6, put on the full armor of God. To put on the full armor of God. Now, when I first came to the church and I heard, put on the full armor of God, I was baffled. Because I says, how do I put it on? What does it consist of? How do I wear this? Because I realized then the fight was serious. And I just want to share something with you guys that happened to me personally. And it happened the very day I was baptized. I remember it was hours out of the water. And then, you know, I went out to celebrate and eat. Some brothers took me out. And then my phone rang. And when my phone rang, it was a person from my past. And this person was making every proposition that would have displeased God to me that very day that I was baptized. And I realized immediately, this is the devil. I said, this is Satan. It has to be. I said, because this person hasn't called me in years. And how, like, coincidentally, as soon as I give my life to Christ, this person came making all these weird propositions to me. You understand what I'm saying? So it says, be alert. Your enemy, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. So we have to remember that, you know, and we're going to go there just to read it so we can remember, brothers, to wear the full armor of God at all times. And the armor consists of these things, because I had to learn. I had to study it out. I had to say, what do I do? How do I put it on? How do I wear it to keep myself, to give myself half a chance? So let's turn to Ephesians 6, right, brothers? Ephesians 6. And I will conclude with this, okay? Ephesians 6. Let's read Ephesians 6:16-18. It says, and I know you heard it before, but it says, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith. Faith, the key. It says, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation. Don't forget your salvation. Don't forget that we were saved from the things we used to do before. Because this is something that happens to us. Remember when we were first baptized? Remember how we were on fire? Remember how we were devoted? We wanted to change, convert the whole world. We wanted to preach to everyone. Are we living like that today? Are we living like that today? Are we making the most of every opportunity? Are we sharing our faith? Are we praying? Are we doing the things that we did in the beginning? Are we doing these things? This is what the enemy is looking for. So we have to be alert, brothers. You know? So he says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? Which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit. Always pray, brothers. Wake up praying. Go to bed praying. Be in your car praying. something happened to me a couple of weeks ago. I got up. It was a beautiful morning. I took a shower, and I drove down the street to go two blocks to the hardware store, and I made a right turn. And when I made this right turn, I heard a weird sound, like some sort of like a ball or something hit my car. Well, it wasn't a ball that hit my car. My car hit a woman. My car hit a woman. If you ask me how it happened to this day, I just can't explain it. I just can't explain it. Be alert. I just can't explain it. And when I heard this, I couldn't believe it. I looked in my rearview mirror and I saw her laying on the ground. So I stopped and I went back to her. And when I went back to her, I noticed that she was bleeding from her head. And she was not in very good shape. And I just couldn't explain how this happened. It was 9:30. I was wide awake, but I didn't see this happening. And you know, that just took me to a place where I need to be, you know. Stay in prayer. You know, thank God, you know, she didn't die. She's okay. She's out of the hospital. Yes, she's suing me, you know, and it's her right to do so. But what I'm trying to tell you guys, you know, we need to have God in our lives all the time, because Satan will find any way he can to disrupt our lives, you know. But we got to remember who our Jesus is. We got to remember that it says in Matthew 28 that all authority has been given to Christ. So if all authority has been given to Christ, none was left for Satan. That's why I say he has no authority over us. So if all authority has been given to our Christ, none was left for him. So I just want to share that with you. I want to make an emphasis on that, because I know how dangerous it is for my life, and it's probably for yours too. So brothers, we'll go to one last scripture and we'll be done. Amen. And that's Ephesians 6:10-12. Right there, you don't have to turn. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's scheme. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. To God be the glory. Thank you for letting me share.